Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 4, which says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And so, last week we started looking at this issue of how, as the Apostle Paul is getting into the aspect of these practical things for the individuals who are the members of the body of Christ, that he is talking here about the fact that they should know certain things. And that aspect of should seems to cause problems for individuals who identify themselves as Christians, because there is this belief that an individual, instead of it being should, that there's truly a requirement that a person has to do these things in order to either have salvation or to maintain their salvation. Instead of understanding the fact of that a person is saved today by putting their trust in the gospel that's laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and the issue of how a person puts their trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and the simple fact that our belief in that work gives us our eternal life. And this is very clearly laid out for individuals, and instead of accepting this fact, individuals really try to put themselves under some form of a performance-based system, thinking that this is what's going to help them be able to be pleasing unto God by the fact that they could be trying to do certain things. And that's why you see how, as Paul is speaking here, that it says that every one of you should know. So he's taking it to the aspect of the knowledge that an individual should have today during this dispensation. And when we look at this idea of the knowledge that we are to have, we know that the only knowledge that we can have that will be reflective of what is pleasing unto God is the information that we have from the Word of God. We see how Paul gives us these instructions. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're going to see how Paul's going to describe the Word of God here. And we know that the Word of God is what produces faith in an individual, because Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now we see how here in verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So it's all of scripture. So everything that is identified as being scripture, the Word of God, that's been given by his inspiration, is also going to be identified as being profitable. And it's, you see how it's profitable for all of these things. It's profitable for doctrine. So it's profitable for the information. It's going to instruct us on how it is that we're to be living our life. It's profitable for reproof. So reproving the things that, you know, we've already seen, for correction, correcting the error that we've, and instruction in righteousness. So showing what it is that's going to produce righteousness in the individual, producing someone who is perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So it's all of Scripture. So everything from Genesis through Revelation can produce these things, and it can produce these things as long as it is being properly applied to the life of an individual. And we have the Apostle Paul telling us how to properly apply these things. If we turn back one chapter here, to chapter number 2, we have an instruction that is clearly given to us. That way we can actually be able to know exactly what information we need at this time. We see here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15, where Paul instructs us here, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So it's the issue of that we are to be studying, so that way we can be approved unto God. You know, that study involves us being a workman, so it's not something that's going to come easy. We're going to actually have to work, apply ourselves, so that way to make sure that we are gaining the information that we need. And we see how Paul tells us here that we're going to have to rightly divide the word of truth. So we're going to have to be able to take the information that is here in the Word of God, and when Paul says to rightly divide, it means that we are able to take the information and be able to understand exactly who a passage applies to, when it's being written, what the aspect of what's being taught with it, all of these different things that we would need to know. So that way we would be properly applying our instructions to ourselves. We don't want to take somebody else's instructions on how to live their life according to God's word. Because if we take someone else's instructions, the problem is going to be it's going to have a biblical basis to it, but it's not going to be pleasing unto God, because it's not going to be the things that God would actually have us to do. And so that's why when we're properly, you know, understanding this and rightly dividing the word of truth, we know that Paul is our apostle. He's the one who's given us our doctrine for today. He's the one that's told us that we have to follow him as he followed Christ. So we have those instructions to be able to say, okay, I know that the things that are written by Paul, which starts in the book of Romans, ends with the book of Philemon, that is the information that I'm going to apply to myself today during this dispensation. I'm also going to have that understanding of that there are going to be some things that the Apostle Paul writes that indicate that, you know, it had an application at one point in time, but it no longer has an application at this point. You see how, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, he's talking about individuals being water baptized, which is something that, you know, by the time he's hitting the book of Ephesians, he's talking about how there's one baptism that applies to individuals. He talks about the sign gifts in the book of 1 Corinthians. So you see these things that were going on as Paul was writing that epistle, that clearly today. And we know that it's clear because Paul gives us the information to show that, okay, while these things, you know, apply for, you know, during this whole dispensation, These other things, they clearly have an end point because he tells us exactly what that end point is going to be. So there is no room for confusion for a believer today. That's why you see how Paul, he talks about the aspect of that, you know, I'm going to read here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 18. We say but that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That aspect of a believer needing to comprehend things, having not just, okay, I have a surface knowledge of these things. I'm comprehending and having a full, complete knowledge to where I can give clear understanding and be able to demonstrate this through not only my actions, but also if I'm trying to explain things to somebody else, I'm clearly explaining what is going on. And this is not something that just comes very easy to an individual. This is where that work is going to have to come in to where somebody is taking in the word, studying it out, having the things of where Paul talks about what is needed in the life of an individual. Let's look over to Romans chapter number 12 to where we're going to see an aspect of how Paul is going to describe what needs to occur in the life of a believer today. And here in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read here verses 1 and 2, which say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's a clear distinction that the Apostle Paul is making here of where an individual has to, you know, take themselves away from the things of this world. That's why Paul is saying to be not conformed to this world, because all of the things of the world that appeal to the natural man, those are the things that are, you know, opposed to what the Word of God says for us today. And those are the things that Paul is saying, you know, get away from those things, but you need to have a transformation happening, a renewing of the mind that's going to come from when the Word of God is being taken in and the Word of God effectually working in the individual so that way there can be a proper change for someone to say, okay, that this is exactly what needs to occur and they're properly applying the things of God's Word. And God's Word can only work in the life of a believer. God's Word cannot work in someone who is not saved. We see how Paul defines that here. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to see where Paul here is going to describe how it is that an individual starts to have this renewing of the mind actually happening here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 6. And we're actually going to read all the way through down through verse number 16. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, we start here with that aspect of where Paul's talking about the fact that we have the mind of Christ because we have a completed word of God. So we have all of the instructions that have been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul to give to us. So we have this information, and Paul's talking about how this information actually is going to have an impact on somebody when it's the fact that it's the Spirit, so it's part of the Godhead, that's going to communicate with the Spirit that's inside of a man. So it's God the Holy Ghost communicating with part of who we are to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So that's why we have to be studying and taking the Word of God in. So that way there are the pieces inside of us enough so that way the Spirit can compare those things to be able to give that insight into what the Word of God says. So that way then the Word can actually have an impact on who we are. And we see that contrast between God's wisdom and man's wisdom, and how man's wisdom is going to just take someone farther and farther away from what the Word of God actually says. It's going to keep us away from that doctrine that's going to be pleasing unto God. It's going to keep us away from these clear instructions on how it is that we're to be living our life. So these are the things that these saints in Thessalonica were supposed to know. We know from how he holds them up in chapter number 2 when he speaks about how they took the things that had been given to them by the Apostle Paul. They accepted this as being the Word of God, which was going to work in them. So they were able to do this, and now this is why he's going to be able to appeal to these things as he's giving them these instructions on the practical things of how to live their life. We see how Paul prays for individuals. Let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1. You know, in this prayer here that Paul gives, you know, this is a prayer that if we're going to be talking about how it is that we as members of the body of Christ should be praying for other saints, this gives us, you know, an example of how it is that we should be praying for people. Because we see how Paul, as he's writing to these saints in Colossae, starting here in verse number 9 of Colossians chapter number 1, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, we see how Paul begins this prayer as he's talking about he's not ceasing to pray for them and the desire that he has for these individuals is that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So an individual is going to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding by their taking in of the word of God and the spirit being able to communicate what's in it, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual, so that way they can have that transformation by the renewing of their mind. This is what the Apostle Paul is praying for, because it's God's will that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So that second part for a believer after salvation is that an individual would come unto the knowledge of the truth. That coming unto the knowledge is by the word of God coming in and having an impact on who they are. So that way the end result can be what we see in verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." So the aspect of how an individual, as that word is coming into them and having an impact, that the end result of it is that they might walk worthy of the Lord. That's the goal, is that as the word is coming in, having an impact, that it's going to actually change the individual in a manner of where they're going to be doing the right thing according to the doctrine that has been laid out. And that's the only way that a person is actually going to have a change and what it is that they're doing. You know, and that's why when individuals ask a thing of, you know, why do individuals who understand right division, why don't they do a lot of things talking about, you know, all these practical things? Well, the reason why there's not a discussion of the practical things is because there doesn't need to be all those discussions on it, because if a person is studying and taking the word of God in and it's having an impact on who they are, the end result is going to be that their life is going to be different. They're going to have that, as Paul describes, and we're going to close out here with one last verse of where Paul describes this over here in the book of Philemon in verse number 6, where Paul says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And that communication of the faith, as they're acknowledging the good that's in someone by Christ, because it's Christ in us, his righteousness, that's the good things. This is where, if a person is understanding that and applying the doctrine, it's going to have that impact to where it can be effectually communicated with other individuals, so that way they can have those changes occur. And we'll continue looking at some of these things next week. Now, as we close out here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday service live as it's being broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments on anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.